stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by Zach's editor and a fellow Zach's podcaster, Ryan McQueenie, to talk about, no, not the millennials. That's what I normally have you
yeah, in,
millennial stuff. But no, today we're going to talk about China and its internet and social media stocks. Now, I do have a confession to make. Just last week, I bought my first Chinese stock about 6 years, 6 or 7 years. This was in my own personal portfolio. So many people know, but I haven't really talked about it much on the podcast, that I've been a bear on China for years. So I feel like the country's been in a sharp slump economically. I think it was in a recession. They would never admit to that, of course. Their financial data didn't show that they were in a recession, but it does seem like they're coming out of it now. And things are improving over there. But in addition to that, myself and many other American investors got kind of burned between 6 and 8 years ago with these reverse IPO things and the scam companies. Mm-hmm. There literally were some Chinese companies that were traded on our markets that kind of didn't exist. Like they had like these American investigators and going over there in like the muddy waters of the world and the Citrons, and they would like put cameras outside of their offices and then discover that no one was going in and out, and like all the trucks that were supposed to be delivering merchandise never showed up. And whoops, like things were not what they seemed. So after all of that happened and you just got no transparency, I was like, forget it. Enough of this. I'm not doing anything with the Chinese stocks or any Chinese company. But like I said, I did just buy one that is in this internet and social media area. And I do want to say one of the reasons I have jumped in now is because I kind of do buy into the theory that's espoused here by some of our colleagues, including Shiraz Mian, who's our head of equity research here, that the Chinese government has basically chosen winners in many areas of its economy, including the internet and social media stocks. So it designated who it wanted to be in those areas. And now those companies are off and running. So unlike some of the crazy scam companies that occurred, in the last decade that owned like one gas plant and seven service stations in some far-flung province somewhere.
Yeah.
These companies,
the real deal.
Yeah, are huge. They really do have this many followers of their various social media platforms. Some of them, which we'll talk about in a minute, are expanding outside of China. Like these, the huge market caps. And like I said, these are the winners of that space. And I also kind of wanted to talk about them on a podcast because I do feel like they are the FANG of China.
Yes.
And for people who aren't aware of how it works, and we'll talk about this because you can't get on Facebook if you're in China. Like you can't be a Chinese citizen getting on it. You can't join it over there. And then you used to be able to do these kind of use these apps to get around the firewalls and everything. And if you were an American over there visiting or studying or working, you could get on US or Facebook and Twitter type of social media platforms. But now I've heard they've kind of shut down that that avenue.
What you're referring to is a lot of people would be able to use VPNs, which lets you basically pretend like you're on a network in a different country while still in your domestic network. Chinese regulators have really been cracking down on VPNs over the past year, but really within the past few months.
I heard they also did something that was an app on the iPhone over there that allowed you to get access to that suddenly went away. I noticed that anyone who listened to my podcast from China, suddenly I had nobody listening from China anymore because they couldn't access iTunes.
Interesting. Yeah. I know that you either can't get on these American internet sites or you can get on heavily altered versions of them. So with like the App Store, the iTunes App Store, There are certain features that just don't show up in the Chinese version of it. I know off the top of my head, it's interesting that the podcasts thing is different, but which would make sense with some of the themes that I think we'll get to.
are you saying?
Yeah, but I know that like the iTunes books section is also significantly different, slash maybe not even operational these days.
Yeah.
It's definitely a trend.
Well, that's another theme that investors have to be aware of if they're interested in any of these companies, is that the regulatory environment is very different than what you find in the US. Although, who knows? I mean, ours may start to be more heavily regulated given some of the things that have been going on recently. But they've been cracking down on things like you can no longer sign up for a social media site using like a fake internet email address. Like, it has to be tied to a person.
Sure.
And when they first put that into place, it was seen to be like kind of radical, but now it might not seem to be. So it cuts down on the number of trolls and bots and all this other stuff that goes on out there. They've also really been cracking down on internet porn a lot, much more heavily than, you know, what we've seen in the rest of the world.
Yeah. Well, so that's the interesting thing, is that obviously when you're talking about investing in international companies at all, that you, as an investor, you have to be understanding of the each individual regulatory difference. I would say China is probably the most flagrant or obvious example of a different regulatory environment, which I think is, I don't know about a direct product, but certainly a product of the cultural difference. And so some of the regulatory issues, I don't know if issues is the right word, but like the porn thing, for example, that is getting cracked down on because the Chinese government wants to kind of like maintain this traditional type of culture.
Sure.
It's almost hard to draw a comparison to the US, but because the traditional family culture is a different type of culture, what it means to be a traditional family is different in both countries. But those ideas of like pornography is going to be not something that is falling in line with that traditional conservative family values that they want to promote from the top down.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they just have a completely different agenda in general.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about very different type of governmental systems and all of that.
Right.
And that is reflected in these companies. I mean, after all, they have like a huge contingent of censors that sit there on some of their social media networks and just monitor like what is being said out there. And there's certain like even phrases that can't be used on some of their networks and things like that you don't see here. So I know some investors get nervous about the regulatory issues and what else may happen, because there's been some rumors that they may try to take like seats on some of these boards of these really big winner companies that they've designated winners as a way to try to keep some control. And these are risks that investors have to weigh when they're thinking about investing in any of these kind of FANG stocks that are over in China, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of what the stocks are, because I think people don't really realize.
Yeah, it's very easy to get caught up in company name, ticker, and forget that there's a product and a service.
Right, like what they actually do.
Right.
So I want to start with one that's kind of ignored, I feel, by most people, and it's Baidu, which has for many years been called the Google of China, because they basically did oust Google as the search engine over there and installed Baidu in there. There are some other companies that also have search engines, so it's not just Baidu. But Baidu is the largest one. They now have a market cap of $91 billion. They're actually reporting the week we're recording this, so we'll find out. But they have a good track record of beating on the estimates. So their sales are up 18% this year, supposed to be up 20% next year. So still the nice double digits, kind of mirroring what Alphabet is doing as well. And trading at 35 times. So that doesn't seem that expensive to me. Like you're buying for the growth, of course. I'm not saying it's a value. So no one out there think like, oh, she thinks that's a value.
Right.
But Baidu, it does get ignored by most American investors.
Yeah. And to further draw the Google comparison, if we may flesh that out here, looking at outside of what the company does with its like core search engine, kind of does mirror what Alphabet does with that whole Alphabet umbrella, whether it be cloud, AI. It's interesting, from my understanding, Baidu operates their own, like the Chinese version of Wikipedia, basically, because Wikipedia you can't access in China, or not the American version of Wikipedia. So it's a similar kind of like online encyclopedia. They have a music service as well that has over 200 million active listeners. They have self-driving car project. They've got their hands in a little bit of everything, all of these kind of emerging tech trends.
Yeah.
Very similar to how Alphabet does, even though the core business is still obviously the search engine.
Right.
You've got these little side projects going on all over the place as well.
Yeah, I think we'll find that with a lot of these social media and internet companies, both here and over there. Mm-hmm. They're all kind of trying to compete in similar spaces to some extent. So let's talk about, let's move to the online shopping area, because I think, I feel like this is the most complicated, that there isn't just an Amazon of China.
Yeah.
There's like several that kind of are like Amazon of China.
Yeah, I would say most complicated, but also I would think most misunderstood from the American perspective.
Okay, yeah, me too. Because I've had to ask numerous people, like, what's the difference? And then I did a podcast on millennials in China, because we had a Zach's intern who went over there for a year to study, and he was telling me the difference between the two too. And some of what he said made sense, that he, when he was living over there, mostly ordered off of JD.com,
sure,
which is ticker JD. But most people don't know JD.com. Most American investors are like, what? It was just featured in Barron's. I feel like that has given it some fame or something.
Sure.
But its competitor-ish kind of competitor, Alibaba, gets all the glory still. And I, you know why I feel like that is? I feel like because Alibaba has Jack Ma. Well, one, it was the largest IPO like ever.
Yeah.
And then it has Jack Ma there circling the globe, being like basically their spokesperson, who speaks very good English. And we can just understand it has the great logo and has the cool name.
And he's a whole personality too,
right,
as well.
So we tend to know and gravitate towards Alibaba, which is ticker, of course, Baba, B-A-B-A. That has a market cap of $442 billion. And comparatively, JD.com is just $54
billion.
Okay. So huge difference.
Yeah. And I would, to pause there a little bit and talk about kind of that, maybe are we misunderstanding the dynamic? I feel like the quick reaction that you always get is comparing Alibaba to Amazon,
yeah,
and calling it the Chinese Amazon,
right,
especially because they're also involved with kind of web services and getting into media as well. And so it's not, I don't think, completely incorrect comparison.
Right.
But based off of what we understand, maybe not, you don't have, if you live in China, you don't have the relationship with Alibaba on a day-to-day that an American would have with Amazon.
That's what I've heard. That, like Afri said, he was ordering stuff from JD.com for the most part. But Alibaba is much more to the business side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're operating a business, you order off there. But they do get big amount of business on Singles Day, which is coming up in November. That's one of my favorite holidays, made up holidays, which I wish they'd
that
get here.
That is the best, I think, made up holiday.
Isn't it? It's so good. Singles Day, November 11th, which is
11/11.
I know.
Ones across the board. It's just everything down to the date it falls on is amazing.
I know. We can't have it in America, though, because we debated this when they went public, but it falls on usually on our holiday, our Veterans Day. Or right around there, many years.
Yeah, that's
so,
a good point.
So they haven't really adopted it here, or else I'm sure they would try. I'm sure they would. But yeah, like both of these companies have, you know, they have big growth trajectories.
Mm-hmm.
They're both actually, well, Alibaba's the cheaper of the two. I was kind of surprised by this. They have a PE of 35 and JD.com has the PE of 86. So people are paying more to get JD.com right now. But sales up 51% this year for Alibaba and 39 for JD, and then 37 next year expected for Alibaba and 29 for JD.com. So, you know, not many analysts follow like JD.com. So it's not unusual that no one else really knows who they are either. We only have three estimates here at Zacks for them.
Interesting.
Which you think, because these companies are so big and prominent, that we'd have more covering analysts. But yeah, it's hard on the foreign companies. They don't tend to cover them as often. And then they're mainly on like the bigger name, like Alibaba. But, you know, Baba has the interesting video side that they are really trying to get into. I did see that they bought this big online video platform, which was one of the top 15 social media platforms at the time in 2015. It's called Youku, and they bought that for $4 billion. So they clearly are willing to spend some money to get into some of these areas. And, you know, I mean, everybody kind of knows the Alibaba story. Stock's been on fire. So they haven't reported earnings yet. We'll kind of see what happens with that. And one thing I do like about Alibaba is, and Afri talked about this, they have the Alipay. They have the online pay, and that is huge. Like, no one uses cash in China now. And they're expanding it. It's really, they're trying to push it really heavy in India. There are some other competitors in India, including, well, Amazon's down there too. But Alibaba in general, the website and the Alipay is trying to push into some of these other areas, which I feel is unusual for the Chinese internet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when we look at this, I feel like the growth potential is for a lot of these is companies is still within China.
Yes.
And there still is plenty of growth opportunity there. But Alibaba, specifically Alipay, seems to jump off the page as one of the few like international growth stories.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're looking for that, it's why everybody is interested in Alibaba right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how they compete outside their home market, though. This is one of my issues with it, is that it's great they're trying to go outside, but they will have to compete against Amazon, other online payment services, and they're not one of the chosen winners outside their home market.
Right.
So we don't know how they're going to do. We'll see. That'll be one thing. Okay, so let's move on to some of the other big names here that are kind of in the, I'm going to call it the Facebook category.
Let's do it.
So there's Tencent, and this is the company that I ended up buying only a week ago. Following them for a while, I know.
I was waiting for the reveal there.
Yeah. So Tencent, the ticker is TCEHY. This is also one that I think very few Americans have any clue about what they do, but they're all over the place. So their big area was always the smartphone gaming,
right?
Huge online gaming, but they also have WeChat, as we call it in English, which is basically the Facebook of China.
Yeah.
And I've heard from people who are over there that it's even better than Facebook.
Yeah. I've heard it described as the app for everything.
Yeah.
So, also I will say that from my understanding, again, I'm adding the qualifier from my understanding, just because like it's so much more difficult when you haven't actually used.
Yes.
I could talk all day about Facebook because I've been using it every day for like a decade. But with WeChat, the reason why I feel like the Facebook comparison is so apt is that the, especially with what Facebook has done with Facebook Messenger as its own kind of thing or entity or its own mobile application, WeChat also has that kind of private messaging element of it as well. So
definitely they are zeroing in on 1 billion subscribers now. So that's been growing real fast for them. They're also heavily pushing now into AI research, and you always find them in the news because they're huge. They have a $418 billion market cap. So among the bigger ones. And they just backed China Literature, which is an online and ebook publishing company. They just went IPO in Hong Kong in a $1.1 billion IPO over there. So they're kind of have their hands in a lot of different areas. And their PE is not too bad, but it's not a value. Yes, it's true. I bought a growth stock, everyone. Their PE is 43, but sales expected to be up 55% this year and 33% next year. So I am paying for the growth there.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I feel like this is an interesting, if you want kind of that Facebook-like platform, then yeah, this is the one.
Definitely. Yeah. And you also, I mean, to touch on the gaming aspect of it as well, you are still getting a little bit of exposure to what is one of the craziest gaming cultures in the entire world. Really, you see gaming culture throughout Asia right now is booming, but that this mobile gaming, you've always been able to point to Tencent, yeah, as one of the dominant leaders around the whole world, basically.
Yeah, and I think they're pushing pretty strong into video now too, so that's an area to watch. I know in their last quarter they talked a lot about video, so I'll be tuning in this quarter to kind of see what's happening with that.
Pivot to video. Yeah. Everybody's pivoting to video.
They are. And another area, another company that I feel is kind of like a Baidu, it doesn't get as much love, is Sina. Mm-hmm. They own Weibo, so they, plus online media company. And they get a lot of their revenue in from the online advertising from mobile, of course. But I noticed this little tidbit. In the second quarter, their gross margins were 74%. They're basically minting money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like incredible. Anything over 50, I find, wow, to be like really high, but 74% there. And they said they're seeing strong advertising demand on Weibo, which for anyone who doesn't know, is the Twitter of China.
Yeah, so I was going to say Chinese Twitter.
Yeah, microblogging, but the Chinese Twitter. And so I don't know what Twitter's getting wrong, but apparently Weibo's able to figure out a way to monetize it. And so their sales are expected to be up 46% this year and 44% next year. They have a PE of 39. They're a lot smaller, though. We have a market cap of just $7.6 billion. And Weibo, which also trades actually on our markets, that has a ticker of WB. If all you want to do is own the Twitter part of it,
sure,
they have a PE of 57. So you're paying a lot more just to get the Twitter part, and a market cap of $21 billion, interestingly. But the sales are huge. 2017, 68% growth there. And 2018, another 56%. So these are pretty crazy high numbers for all of these companies.
Yeah, definitely.
You don't see this very often.
Yeah. And that's the fun thing. And I guess why we can kind of more accurately draw the comparison to the FANGs over, yeah, here in America is that when that term was first coined, it was these companies already have a dominant market share in what they're doing, plus they have so much more growth potential. And that's still accurate for the FANG group to an extent. But if we're talking about this companies in China that are showing those similar traits, these brands that we've mentioned, that they're all doing what they already do so well. And they have, you know, that name recognition and that industry dominance and whatever, whether they're the Chinese Twitter, the Chinese,
right,
Facebook, or the Chinese Google, they all have that niche down.
Right.
And they're doing it very well. And then that is also giving them so much more growth potential from here.
Yeah. And once you're like first in on any of these things, as we found out, once you're, you know, first in Facebook, there is really no competitor to Facebook.
Right.
So the only thing I can think of that maybe that doesn't work with is maybe Snapchat, just with Instagram going to Instagram stories. They are taking some market share, even though they were second in there.
Right, yeah.
From Snap. So
yeah, that's a good point, definitely.
Yeah, but usually with any of these kinds of platforms, first in, because people get real loyal. Heck, I even still have, I'll reveal this, I still have my Yahoo email.
Wow.
I know. It's very scary.
Has it been hacked many times?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I've changed the password numerous times. So all you hackers out there, it's been changed. But yeah, like it's still, but I've had it all these years. And I know some of my friends, I can't believe I'm revealing this. They have AOL or whatever that,
oh, yeah,
old one email.
Mm-hmm.
They also now have Gmail accounts too. but they still do use the old ones because you just have your long history. You know how to use it and you just keep doing it. So I think that's true of a lot of social media platforms too.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll see what happens. I know Mark Zuckerberg has been wanting to get into China for years now. Do you think there's any way they ever allow any U.S.
I don't know.
Or anyone else in there?
Yeah, I don't know. A gut reaction to the current regulatory environment would be no.
I would say the
trend over the past two or three years has been that we've picked our winners, and now it is we're going to go to bat for these guys and these guys only.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't see with that kind of perspective why they would ever let a Facebook in to kind of threaten the Chinese company that has the dominant leadership in that market. But that's not to say that the regulatory attitude couldn't change at some point. We've seen, I don't know if I would necessarily call it progress in how we use that word here, but we've seen an evolution in how regulators are, or what regulators are focused on. So,
yeah. Yeah, this area is going to keep evolving, but social media is not going anywhere. So if you want access to this big market, and possibly other bigger markets in the case of Alibaba, which is, you know, pushing into India and Southeast Asia, and Thailand and other places, then these are the names you have to kind of go with. And it's interesting. And as I always tell people, make sure you listen to the conference calls because you find out a lot there, and try to read as much as you can from analysts and just whatever anyone is writing about what's going on over there, like the Barron's piece on JD.com. And people who are using them, like our Zach's intern was using for a year. So he had some of his favorites. And yeah, like it's always a risk when you're investing in foreign companies because of the transparency, as I found out all too well many years ago. But these are the ones that have been picked as the winners in this space. So I'm liking the growth numbers here. And if you are too, let me recap those tickers again for you. So Baidu is BIDU. Alibaba is BABA. JD.com is JD. Tencent has the five letters TCEHY. Then we had Sina, SINA. And if you're interested just in the Weibo part of it, that ticker is WB. So if you want to check out the other podcast that I did do on China with the Zach's intern, with Afri, you can definitely find that on iTunes and on SoundCloud. It was just about 3 months ago, August 2017. So you'll have to scroll back a little bit to find it. I'll try to link to it in the article to this podcast. But it's about millennials in China and, you know, kind of what they're seeing is going on over there. It's an interesting take from someone who spent a year studying over there about what young people are doing and what they're buying and all the items that they're using. And we do cover the social media stocks and companies in general, as well as, you know, just basically if they're eating at the Domino's or pizza or whatever else is going on. So be sure to tune in there because that has some good insight as well. And as always, you should subscribe to get all of our podcasts on iTunes. We're there on Zach's Market Edge. So subscribe to get us every week. So until next time, I'll see you then.